Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, and Dr. Katie Eastman. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth and Katie.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to the Best Ever You Show. And we're just going to start out really fast by thanking everybody at Blog Talk Radio. We're featured again, that's two times in a week, under Staff Picks, and we just love our pals at Blog Talk Radio. You can tweet them at Blog Talk Radio. And our beautiful guest, Crystal Andrus, is featured there so beautifully right on the cover under Staff Picks. And we're going to get to her in just a second here, but I just want to say hi to Katie. How are you, Katie?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm just a little punchy today, as you know.
I am too. We have to do two things first. We need to give a shout out to Delamore, who sponsors our show. You can find them at delamore.com, DELLAMORE.com. Great pasta sauce, and we have to tell our little story that we always tell about how they actually are getting kids to eat red sauce. Which is shocking.
Absolutely, yes. And actually now we're using it for an incentive. If you clean your room, then we'll have pasta. We'll have Delamore this week because she loves her pasta, but we'll only have it with Delamore.
I'm going to bring Crystal in case she wants to laugh or chime in because she has kids too. And our guest is Crystal Andrus. Hello, Crystal. How are you?
Hi. How are you, ladies?
Great. Thank you.
Good.
We always have a chat about Delamore pasta before we bring our guest on. But if you've had...
I don't even know Delamore pasta, so you'll just have to tell me all about it because it's all new to me.
Yeah. Well, they're this wonderful company in Vermont. And I had moved here to Maine in 2004 from... being in California, and I was really tired one day. This is a true story. I walked into the grocery store here, Hannaford, cheap, basically, and get pasta sauce and dump it in a pan here at home because my husband's Italian, and I didn't want to cook, pasta sauce all day. I grabbed two jars of Delamore pasta sauce, came home, put them in a pan, and served it to the whole entire family, and he said, boy, this is just like my grandma's. And you can get a really great batch of pasta sauce. This tastes just like my grandma's. I'm like, well, here's the jar.
Oh, you did? I would maybe just kept that as my secret.
No, you can see
been like
that.
The hero pasta chef.
Yeah, well, if you see my face, it gave it away. I always do. I'm terrible like that. I have inability to lie completely. So anyway, and then. It was such a good moment because all the kids were eating it and everything that I called the owner, Frank Delamore, and we've been buddies ever since for years and
that
years.
That is funny. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great that you pick up the phone and call the owner. I mean, that's crazy.
I think that's a big deal when it really does taste like somebody's grandma's pasta sauce. I mean, I think that was a huge compliment.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, anyway, and now Katie's a big fan and her daughter's a big fan. Right, Katie?
Oh, God, yes. Like I said, we use it as an incentive now and because she would eat pasta 24 hours a day.
Yes, that's funny. That's really cute. And then the other shout-out we need to give is to Hay House because we're working on our book and we just got our edits and the book's in pre-order. It's called Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through. And what a process that is, isn't it, Katie?
Oh, yeah, that is why I am so giddy, because I've been up since 4:30 this morning percolating.
Yes, we've been percolating. And so we're excited about that. And so I just want to welcome you, Crystal. How are you today?
I'm great, and congrats with Hay House. I've done three books with them. So
yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah, I would love to hear more about that, about your books and everything that you do. And Crystal is... I don't even know where to go with you.
Gosh, don't even read that whole bio. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm definitely not going to read your whole bio. I thought about it, but I'm like, But I just want to give people a brief overview of who you are. You're kind of like a spiritual leader in a way. You help women so in so many different ways, from your own weight loss to transformation. I did the same thing, by the way, gained that 80 pounds in that pregnancy.
And you know what? Is it not true, though? It doesn't matter if you gain it in pregnancy or you gain it just, you gain it. If you've never seen the world through those lenses or that perception, it's just, it certainly did not define me, and it certainly didn't, like, set my whole career in motion. But it was a, when I lost the weight and just the difference, the way people treated me, it was like, wow, this is a, this is huge. Like, just the way people treat you in the world was just so insightful for me. So that weight loss, I always think that was sort of the genesis that started my spiritual journey in a way, really, moving forward. And then, yeah, of course, I'm doing a lot more than helping people lose weight now. But, yeah, I know, weight loss, crazy.
Yeah, I hear you. And so you've written three books. You've got this awesome radio show on CBS Radio, and feel free to correct me if I get anything wrong. Just chime in. You have the SWAT Institute. You have upcoming events. You have seminars. You have an incredible social media following. Yeah, just amazing things happening. So, people listening, woman to know, Crystal Landris. Just Google her, follow her, check out her website, Crystal Landris. CrystalAndrus.com. I'm going to get that right.
Got it.
I got it. But I don't think anybody else will based on that. It's CrystalAndrus.com. And then you can also visit SWATInstitute.com. That's just SWATInstitute.com. So,
yeah, and SWAT, if I can jump in, that stands for Simply Woman, Accredited Trainer. That was my first book with Hay House, Simply Woman.
Yeah.
And we've actually gone on, and I'm having my little brag here, but we've gone on now to be the number one online personal empowerment coaching program in the world, and we're exclusively for women. So we really focus on, it's so not anti-man at all, but it's really, you know, women have different needs, and we have a different history, and we have a different legacy, and there's, you know, so many millions of women in the world still that are oppressed. And so we created a program that's really, really exclusively for women. And it's just, it's sort of my baby right now. It's really, it's our third year anniversary right now. I'm actually doing an interview with Dr. Jane Houston next Tuesday night in honor of our third anniversary. And, of course, International Women's Day just passed on Friday.
I saw you. You were somewhere. Where were you on that day?
United Nations.
Yeah.
United Nations. That was crazy. I was just crazy, and I just, you know, I don't know how it happened, but things happen, I think, when you're in the right space at the right time. And I got invited right up onto the floor where no one gets to go other than the diplomats and the ambassadors. And yeah, I got invited. I got to sit in the Canadian ambassador's chair, and then I went right up to the front and looked out across the room and had some pictures, and I'm like, woo! I was crazy. I was beaming.
Katie?
It was beaming.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I was beaming. I just feeling the energy was like, just, I just held my hands there like, I need to breathe this in, the energy of this space.
And just let it all in. Oh, that must be so cool. Well, and you know, one thing that just must be so fun for you, Crystal, is with your background and what you've gone through as a woman to help other women overcome adversity. Can you tell us some of that, some of your story?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny, and I know we have to do that because for the sake of a radio show, and especially if someone doesn't know who I am, which, of course, millions and millions don't know who I am. But, yeah, I mean, I think the reason the story was so defining for me for so long, you know, I went through, you know, it was one of those sort of, like, stories of childhood that, you know, teenage years. And I have to say my childhood was okay. My parents were really young parents, but they did the best they could, and their marriage just didn't survive. And when the marriage didn't survive, absolute chaos broke out. I think they were just really both wounded, and chaos broke out for all of us. You know, without even getting to all the details, there was just a lot of sexual abuse. There were different men coming into our home. My mom was wounded and doing what she did, and there was a lot of craziness. And so at 15, I moved out. And was an angry little spitfire, but you'd never know it. I was, you know, was raised to be, children are to be seen and not heard, and little girls are sugar and spice and everything nice. And I was, like, lovely. I was just a lovely little girl, and I still got good marks in school, and I just really, but I was angry inside. And so, anyways, by the time I was 16, went for my first physical, found out I had the beginning stages of cervical cancer, which is really unheard of to be that young, but I'd been so sexually abused that I think that's the way my body responded. So yeah, went through that alone. I struggled sort of always trying to find a place to live as a teenager. There was never any roots. There was no stability. But I was really determined, and by the time I was 18, I'd already figured out how to buy my first house. And by the time I was 21, I opened my first business. And at 21, I had a real traumatic head injury. Like, it was just a crazy, you know, when you just hear those stories of almost like, oh my God, you had a head injury. And I had a really bad head injury that left me with, you know, damage on my left temporal lobe. So I was having seizures. I lost my license. Like, there was just a lot. There's a lot of things that a lot of people I could just relate to. And then I thought marriage. I just wanted to get married. At a certain point, I just thought I wanted babies and marriage, and I would find stability in that. And I did. I love my children like a crazy, and now they're 16 and 18. And it was a crazy love that changed me and broke my heart open. And I realized how much my parents had to have loved me, because I felt that overwhelming love, and that was a real healing experience for me, and still knowing how wounded my parents were, but there was a healing that happened for me. And in that same time, I also went from being owning health clubs and being Miss Galaxy and a fitness competitor, because everything I did extreme, to suddenly getting pregnant and gaining 80 pounds in my pregnancy. And it was funny, because 1994, I was, you know, on the cover of all kinds of fitness magazines. In 1995, I was probably 220 pounds. So everything I seem to do with
you do it really well, don't you?
Everything. That's it. I'm just massively extreme. So I get my head around something and I'm just extreme. And then even having children. I couldn't just have children. I had to be like homeschool my children. I had to crazy. It was just extreme.
I get it completely. I'm kind of that way too. I always say I'm glad I don't have any severe addictions, or I'd
be in big trouble. Yeah, but my addiction is to be addicted to greatness, but that can be a hard thing to live with too. And you know, so anyways, yeah, I had a lot of healing in my late 20s. Really, something started to shift. There really was some spiritual awakenings happening. I'd lost the weight. That was probably my journey open then. I was so fed up with myself. I'd had a couple of kids back to back, and I loved them, and I really did have so much that the outside would say, oh, you have a lovely home, and you have lovely kids, and everything was lovely, and you should be happy. And I was with so many aspects of myself, but I became obsessed with this weight, and I was probably a little bipolar. Who the hell knows what was wrong with me? But I started running. I started walking. How can I say running? I was so heavy. I started walking in the mornings.
Oh,
I would get up walking.
Wogging.
I was wogging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the weight started coming off, and I had this epiphany, and the weight came off, and I felt incredible. And I thought at that point, I'm going to help all the fat women in the world, and I'm going to help everybody know they're a beautiful swan and they're not the ugly duckling. And I did my first book, and I actually self-published my first book and got a call on my birthday from Reed Tracy, who you're now working with, on my birthday. And Louise Hay had seen I'd done a series of CDs and DVDs and different things, because everything I did was extreme. And yeah, and I got a call, we love you. And they flew me down to California, and I did my first book deal, and I've done 3 books with them now. And so that's the journey. And my 30s, now I'm into my 40s, but my 30s was all about sort of this journey of building, you know, this network and this idea for women, and just wanted to be part of a global coalition, didn't need to be the leader, just wanted to collaborate, wanted to unite with other amazing, strong women in the world. I knew it couldn't be one of us alone, and it needed to come from different voices, different ways. And I just really made my 30s a mission of aligning myself with the most amazing women I could align myself with. And then by the time I was in my 40s, I launched the SWAT Institute, and it's been amazing. And there's been lots of, you know, valleys in there, but it's been an amazing journey. And I just really love supporting other women and finding that same strength. That's really what I'm here to do. And it, you know, you're doing the same work, so we're all aligned. We're all resonating at the same place.
I'm gonna let Katie go. Yeah, go for it, Katie.
Oh, God, I have so much to say. I was in this wonderful women's circle last night, and we were sharing on a very deep level. And there is something so powerful when women get together and are vulnerable with their stories. And I'm wondering if you've had a special moment that you could share with us that was like that.
I have so many of those moments that I am so, I love when I hear that that other women have these, because my entire, you know, you're both, I'm so sorry, Katie, I haven't had a chance to go on and see your website and see what you look like, not that it matters in any way, shape, or form, but I'm looking at Elizabeth right now and going, wow, she's a beautiful woman. And I grew up, you know, I really thought I was a little ugly duckling because I had a star, you know, mother that looked like a movie star. But as I grew into my looks as I got older, I was really raised sort of the way my mother, she was like the, she, God bless her. Like, you know, whenever you hear that, you know, something's coming. God bless her. But she really raised me to be like, women are your competitors and the mistress always gets treated better than the wife. And never let a man see you without makeup on. And, of course, you would tell your man that you made the spaghetti sauce from scratch, because why would you ever tell him you took it out of a can? I mean, this was the way that you lived. You lived how to be perfection on the outside, and every woman was your competitor. So this was like a major breakthrough for me when I started realizing I didn't want to do it that way. I didn't want to be that way. So I have definitely still had, and Katie, when you asked about those intimate moments with women, I've still had the heartbreak where you realize someone's just not really where I thought they were, or maybe I wasn't, maybe something in me brought out something in them that was the worst side of them, and I've had those. But I've actually made my entire career, my entire living on knowing that when you can be so real and vulnerable and honest, and you reveal that side of yourself, and you just know, and it's not even that you have to know who you are, but you're just so okay with whatever you need to share and say in this moment. People love, and especially women, they're so moved by that authenticity that I just have all these authentic relationships. I just always have women that are like, reveal their most honest, intimate self, and I'm just blown away, because now I have these really deep, beautiful, authentic friendships with so many women. I hear people say, if you have one friend in your life, you're lucky. And I think, yeah, we need to not think that way, because, yeah, I have a lot of those really, you know, I did a Goddess Rising retreat, 25 of us I facilitated. We went to Italy in September, and 10 days of women, and there wasn't one cat fight, there wasn't one, and we still get together. Just 2 weeks ago on Friday, we met back up, and these are women that came from different places in the world that didn't know each other and left as soul sisters, and I just absolutely know that there's a massive shift happening in the world. Women are rising, and as we rise together and celebrate each other, we are healing the world. It is women. It's not an anti-man thing, but it is really women healing the world. So I love that you have those circles with women, because I had one last night myself.
Yeah, and you know, I've gone a lot of time feeling like I've been the bubonic plague with four boys under zero, zero, four, six, and eight, where nobody wants to come over to your house. Little kids or
chaos.
Do you know what I mean? Where you just like, oh man, or it's play dates and all, you know, all this stuff, and you just are trying to tell somebody, you know, I don't feel good today or whatever, and yeah, all that fakey stuff is tough, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm so glad I'm not there anymore.
Oh yeah, I'm not either. I'm growing out of it.
I think I am so shockingly bold that actually, my husband and I were just joking about this before the interview. I said, I think I was such a sweet, I'm still sweet, don't get me wrong, I don't mean it to sound like I'm not sweet anymore, but I think I was a little girl, like, you know, the way that I was raised, and probably you were both, I think a lot of us were raised, were to be really nice and be really polite and mind your manners, and I just never spoke up or spoke out or was rude, or in fact, I just wanted to be Laura Ingalls on Little House on the Prairie, and my mom just needed to say, yeah, my mom literally, if I was in trouble, I don't think I really ever had to have a spanking in my life, because I was so gentle that my mom would have, this was punishment, you're acting just like Nellie Olson. I would cry, I'd go to my room, that would be the most horrifying. So being a nice person my entire life was what drove me, and it drove me into the ground. Like at a certain point it was, oh my gosh, I have codependent relationships, everybody needs me. Even when I became a coach, I was so, I was so loving that I developed almost codependent relationships that my clients, there were boundaries. And I think being sexually abused, your boundaries have been so crossed that you don't know how to say, no, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me because you're not comfortable with your setting boundaries and knowing that you're still worth and worthy and you can respect yourself and people will still respect you. So that all really came in my 30s, and then it really developed into my 40s. So now my husband kind of chuckles and said, you were just so walked on your whole life that now you're just say it. I say it with love. I say the truth with love, but I say it now. I really don't find myself in a lot of situations anymore that I'm thinking, why am I here? Like, I really find myself only where I want to be. In fact, if somebody actually says to me, you know, you don't have to do this if you don't want to, and I'm really clear on, oh, I wouldn't. I would not be doing this if I didn't want to.
Exactly. You know, it sounds too like you have a really cool husband who's seen you change and grow. And you guys I've got one of those too where they're just...
I think you've done it differently.
Yeah.
I haven't been married forever. This is a second marriage.
We're all on second marriage.
Yeah. We figured it out as we got a little older.
Yeah.
But this time around, here's the difference too that's amazing in this marriage is I was so much who I was the moment I met him that, you know, even I had small children. Well, they weren't that small by that time. They were, you know, 11 and 12. We've been married, 5 years now. And so they were young, actually maybe younger than that. But I didn't even juggle. It was like, if I have to get a babysitter, I'm sorry, I can't make that work. I'm just not... If this isn't going to work and it's not easy and there's not a lot of ease and I can't be a pleaser and I can't be a performer and I can't, I'm just, this is who I am. And if you like me, that's great. And if you don't, I still think you're great, but we're just not meant to really be together. And it just really worked out. Like, he just was hot on me. Like, he was all, he just made everything work to make us work. And I realized that that's what, at that stage of my life, that's what I really needed was a man who was willing to juggle the balls to make it work for me. And I love it.
That's funny. I think Katie and I have been both married to our second husband for just about the same, about 14 or you might be on 15, but I'm on 14 years. And I remember the first time I introduced him to my babies, really babies, you know, like in the 20-month-old range. And he played airplane with my son, and you just knew it was just completely different. And very honest, very, this is who I am. This is, same thing you're talking about. And Katie, don't you think that's just such a critical piece?
Oh, it's hugely important. I mean, if they don't, you want to be married to someone who's going to be the best father and stepfather and partner, and how they treat children gives you so much information about how sensitive of human being they are. Absolutely.
Right.
Well, I
think so.
And that, and just being honest too, like Crystal was saying, you know, just, you know, here's who I am, you know, no BS. I don't like eggs.
And what it really came was, that's where you're really at. It's like really how well you know yourself and you're okay with yourself to just be. And I don't mean I was bitchy at all. Like, I don't know, can I say that word? I don't mean I was difficult, or I was very, like, filled with joy, and I was happy, and but, you know, he would say things to me like, I love you so much. Like, do you love me? Like, are we going to be together forever? And I would look at him and kind of giggle and say, well, I'll be with you today. And, you know, if tomorrow's good, I'll probably stick around for another day. And I just was really honest. Or he'd say things like, can you live without me? Like, I love you so much, I can't live without you. Could you live without me? And I'd be like, well, I wouldn't stop breathing. Like, I would probably still live. But I like this. It's great. It would be great to do it with you. And I don't know. I think I was just, I was a different place in my life where it wasn't, I was financially independent. I'd already done two books at that point. I'd raised my kids alone. I'd been a single mother, and I was just really in a place where I really like who I am. I know who I am. I know I can do this. I'd love to do it with somebody I love. I would love to go through this lifetime and have, you know, be rooted in one person that gets you and loves you and forgives you and takes care of you, and you can do all those same things for him. But if that doesn't work right now in my life, it's okay too. And I think I came with a different space that I'd had when I was younger, which was much more needy, and just totally needed that person to tell me I was beautiful and tell me I was fabulous and make me feel like I was enough. And I don't think anybody can do that ever for us. And so that's why I think so many marriages struggle, because we really depend on that partner to be so much for us.
Did you learn? Right. Did you learn some of those tools and learn how to change like that through Hay House and some of the people that you met at Hay House and the process of writing your books and being on stage with people and just, you know, going through some of that? Because Hay House,
I don't mean that to sound.
No, it's okay. I just wondered because Hay House seems like it changes people's lives if you know.
I'm going to tell you something, Elizabeth. You're already there. That's why you're with Hay House. You're there already. Now you're the person that changes lives with those people.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, like I think to be there and to be chosen on that platform means you are there. You are one of them, and you will collaborate and share with them. But I think...
From them before, did you... Here's what I'm trying to ask, I guess, is I'm trying to get to help other people here, how you learned what you learned.
Yeah,
Looking at Hay House before and you know, just what your resource was.
Yeah, like I remember my first book, actually the first book I ever read that woke me up, I was 21, and it was Deepak Chopra, Ageless Body, Timeless Mind. And he was on Oprah Winfrey. And it was the first time I heard him on Oprah, and he said, you know, the tears you cry when you're sad have different chemicals in them than the tears you cry when you're joyous. And all of a sudden he was talking about when you're upset, don't eat. Don't eat food with someone you don't like, because your body can't digest the food properly. It can't process. It won't absorb the vitamins. And I was like, what? What am I hearing right now? And that's how you know, like when something just dings off in your head and almost like you shift to a different frequency where you're now so open to receiving, and it's everywhere. It's all around you. You're open to it now. And I think you also become a conduit to that same frequency that Deepak Chopra gets or Wayne Dyer gets. And I think when you yourself become that conduit of consciousness, you download the information yourself. You're downloading. You're on the same frequency. It's being, you know, I just had Greg Braden, another great Hay House author. I just did an event with him in January, and we were laughing. He said, you know, he's telling a story about how, you know, he's driving in the car with his dear friend who's this incredible musician, and for years he's been trying to get his friend to get his music out to the world, and he's always in the studio, and he's always working on the songs, and he's always. And they're driving in the car one day, and all of a sudden his friend's song plays on the radio, and he looks over at him, and his friend goes, "How can that be? How can that be? How did somebody steal my song?" And Greg looks at him and says, "Because we're all downloading the same information if we're on the frequency, but it's up to you to get it out." So I definitely was always influenced, but it was already my calling too, just like it's yours, just like it's theirs. It's like a musician is influenced by other musicians, but a musician has the talent in and of himself.
Oh, that's beautifully said. I love that. Yeah, I remember the moment that I read Marianne Williamson and the quote. I was with a client at the time, and the quote really resonated with me. Women need to get to a place where they wouldn't even think about being with men who will harm them. And that just resonated with me so much, and it was a turning point. Can you tell us about a real turning point in your life? We always talk about leaps of faith on the show. And did you have a leap of faith, a turning point?
Oh, my gosh. Turning points. I've had so many turning points. I think every couple months I have a turning point. And I totally think that the people that we view, whatever you view success to be, are constantly in pivotal moments. Like we're constantly in a pivotal moment of trust my gut instinct, take the leap of faith, nobody else gets me. Very few people can believe I'm about to do this. Something in my being says you have to do this, because there's a faith within you that knows it would be okay anyways if it doesn't work out. It's okay anyways. If this book that you're writing, if it goes out and it becomes an international best-selling sensation and it rocks the world, that will be incredible. and not that I should even say
no,
I shouldn't have used yours. And if it doesn't, it's still great anyways. It's still great anyways. It's that you
right.
took that. You took that leap of faith. You invested in yourself.
I understand that very well. I want to stop you for just a second because this is a huge concept that people don't understand, and sometimes it paralyzes people because they think, oh, I better not do that because... Oh, what if it fails? What if it fails?
Well, it's
like,
okay.
Who the heck cares? You know?
And I've had so many failures.
I've had so many failures. Oh my God! Join the failure club. I mean, holy wow, have we all had?
Holy
failures.
Wow, how many times you just go, God? I look up at the heavens and say, God, work with me, please. I really need you right now to get in on this one, because seriously, I need a little, and then something clicks. And it's really, you know, it's those turning points that are just constantly, I just think, you know, what was a turning point? A turning point was deciding to leave my first marriage. That was a huge turning point. I, by all rights, shouldn't have left. Someone just looked at it and said, you know, I was with the wrong person. I was with him since I was a teenager. He was the wrong person. And if I had not been homeless, I wouldn't have said we could share the rent at 18. Mm-hmm. Like, we can share the rent together. And then at 21, well, should we just, like, elope? Like, and then at 25,
so
like...
similar. It's freaking me out.
Right. It was just like, but it was okay because he gave me the perfect children. He gave me these little girls that just light my heart up. And even the struggles I've had with him, like, it's been 14 years being separated and divorced, and I'm just finally, like, my kid has just turned 18. I'm finally, on March 25th, hopefully have my last day in court to try to get him to pay child support. Like, but that was part of a journey that was like, finally 3 years ago, I went, why have I been raising these children alone? Because this guy just fights and fights and fights and fights and fights. I was supposed to have him to fight me, to teach me. At a certain point, I finally saved up enough money that I can actually go to court and I can hire a $450 an hour lawyer and I will actually do what's right for all the women in the world who, and I finally get the whole system now. So if I actually was coaching a woman and she came to me and said, what do? I would truly be able to say, here are the right decisions you make in the beginning. You never do anything to try to get at him or hurt him, or but there's things you have to do for there's things you have to do for the integrity of your children. There's things you have to do for the integrity of yourself as a human being and as a woman. And so all of those things were just so perfectly, divinely part of my life. And even head injuries and this and that and seizures and blah, 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 blah. I look at them now and I go, wow, like I just love that I experienced those things because I have such a compassionate understanding when somebody's going through it now. I can in a blink of an eye, bring myself right back to the depths of despair to remember exactly what it feels like. And then how did I get out of there? How did I get myself out of that place? So that when I'm talking to somebody, I don't forget the humanity of being in the depths of despair.
That's one of my favorite words, humanity. That's such a great word. Humanity and peace, those are probably my two favorite words. Well, other than percolate, of course.
And I think if we remember those moments, right, we remember our humanity, that we never lose that ability. Because I've been on the top of the mountain, I've been in the bottom of the valley, and I can't imagine if I was judged for the rest of my life by some of the decisions I made when I was in the valley.
Mm.
And so I try to remember that when I see somebody that's just making really, really, really bad choices, that they still have something in them that's so divine. And if you can speak to the divinity in that person and not the wounded in that person, they instantly begin to shift back to remembering who they really are. And you can turn people around in a week. You can turn people around so quickly if you remember who they are by remembering who you are. You speak to the greatness in them, and people begin to operate from that space again. And that's really what we teach at the SWOT Institute. And that's, you know, what I do when I coach somebody. They instantly remember. They feel better about themselves around me than away. And I don't mean that it should be me. It's all of us. That's how you know you're really doing great work in the world, is that that person walks away feeling better about who they are. Because they got everything you got. And you've been there. You've been in that crappy place. And you can give them a couple little directional changes to change the trajectory. And that gets me so juiced. I don't know if you can hear it in me, but that's what lights me up, is taking the most wounded and saying, you really can fly. Let's do this.
Mm. Well, that is so exciting. Tell us about Women's Safe Harbor, because that's what that's all about, isn't it?
Women's Safe Harbor, or do you mean my safe havens?
Women's safe havens.
Yes, no problem. Well, The Simple Woman was a whole theme, and actually Shane Travis, who I'm sure you do work with Shane, I think, Elizabeth, don't you? I think you do some work with
him. I just met him.
Oh, you just met him. Shane
yes,
is an incredible, he's an incredible light worker in the world. And he's an amazing connector. And I actually call him a rainmaker, because Shane has this crazy courage that he can connect anybody with anybody, and he's fearless. I did my first book years ago, Simply Woman, and then I did my Simply Woman accredited training institute, the SWAT Institute, and then we developed a charity called Simply Woman Safe Havens. And so a portion of all of our proceeds that we make go towards our Simply Woman Safe Havens. And then we're developing Sway, Simply Woman Accredited Yoga, a special style of yoga movement. It's very sensual but very grounded. And we take a portion of everything that goes to those safe havens. So this is something that, you know, when I was at the United Nations, I stood there and thought, I can't, this is a dream of knowing that, you know, in 2016 we will probably be ready to build our first Simply Woman safe haven. And it's a culturally sensitive center that will be in different, different communities in the world where women don't have a voice like we do. And I realized that the UN, when I was down there on International Women's Day on Friday, was the UN is not really designed for me or you, not that it isn't there for us, but we already have a voice. We live in a country. You live in the United States. I live in Canada. We have a voice. We can use it. We can speak it. We can say anything we want now. Mind you, 100 years ago, there wasn't a woman in the world who had a voice. There wasn't 100 years ago a woman. We weren't considered persons by law 100 years ago. We weren't considered a person by law. There are still millions of women in the world who are not considered persons yet by law. So we want to build culturally sensitive centers where we can go into communities where we have to be so sensitive to where they're at, but to give them that hope, to show them what's happening in the world, and to work with charities in their community. So you're not going in and trying to put you can't go in there and say you should be like us, because we still have to be very sensitive to what's happening in their world. But every woman should be able to use her voice, and every woman should be an equal member of society. I mean, to this day, and I think a lot of us don't think these things, when your sons, Elizabeth, were babies and you went to the doctors and it said, or if you were to check off something for your sons, it's either Mr. or Mr. For a little girl, I have two daughters, it's Miss, Mrs., or Ms.
Ms., yeah.
And... Mm-hmm. And we are still defined by the man in our life. Your
mm-hmm.
son will be a mister when he's 5 years old. He's a mister when he's 15. He's a mister when he's 45. He'll be a mister when he's 85. He's a mister. He stands totally independent of his marital status. And women, we still are defined. Oh, you're a Ms. Ooh. You are one of those Mrs. And I just want women, I just pray for a world that in 20, 30, it's going to take a bit of time, 20, 30, 40 years, that all women, you know, we still have women in the world who literally, there was a couple of weeks ago, I was just reading, 4 women were burned to death for clapping and dancing in their burqas at a wedding, clapping. And this is still happening in the world. So how does SWAT Institute, that's really only about empowering women in industrialized nations, help that? Well, it helps it because the more women who are bright and strong and empowered and have a voice here can begin to reach out to those communities. We have to reach past our own communities once we're strong enough. And once we're strong enough, then we will be taking our coaches, our certified coaches, as well as other communities, and going into some of those rural communities and doing it with grace and doing it with love and doing it without being anti-man, because you're not going to get anywhere in this world if you do it in an anti-man fashion, because you have boys. We want our boys to know they're loved, and we want to be equal partners with them. We do not want to do anything that makes a man feel angry towards us, that we're trying to overstep them, that we just want to love you and be loved by you. We want to have the same opportunities as you, and we want to support you. Maybe you'll be the wind beneath our wings, and we'll be the wind beneath yours, and that we live in a world. And that's my greatest dream. And so that's really what the Simply Woman Safe Havens is all about.
Wow, how cool. Exciting.
Yeah, that's
have awesome. You ever met anyone that can talk like me? Holy moly, I'm crazy. That's not bipolar.
You've kind of given us a nice break, actually. We're in listening mode. It's kind of nice, actually, to be having a radio show and just sort of listening, actually, because sometimes it's like you got to pry information from the guest, and that's not the case, so it's really cool. But that's a really neat international vision. And, you know, it's real. I think what's striking me as you're talking is I think it's really important that you're just talking about it. And that's what we're starting to do, and I think that's what's gonna, you know, it's like
just talking about it.
This dull roar at this point, and it needs to be a really loud roar.
And probably the reason I have this loud roaring voice is that's what God gave me. God knows, like you were so oppressed when you were young, you were abused, you were so quiet, and you didn't tell anybody, and you never spoke up for yourself, and your body got sick, and now I just feel so passionate that I still want to do it with a smile on my face. I still want to do it where I can giggle and I can laugh and I can be a woman and I can be feminine, but it has to be heard, and it's not just me. Like I said, Jean Houston, I'm having her on Tuesday night for a great conversation. You know, the Simply Woman I was talking about, Shane Travis, we're building this Simply Woman online magazine now. And I know you've got a great magazine, but it's aligning. It's saying, Elizabeth, Katie, come write for us. Share your vision. Let's all share. When you've got an event, I'll support you. When I have an event, you support me. Let's keep supporting so that we're showing the world that there's all of these grown-up, mature, lighthearted, intelligent, playful, beautiful, collaborating women in the world, and that we're not just, you know, what we used to be years ago. Years ago, it was literally a woman was called, back before the women's movement, we were called a drudge or a doll. And you better be a really good cook and take care of your family and be selfless, or you better be so darn cute that you can please a man. Those were your options in life.
Oh, yeah. I remember I'm a therapist with kids, and I had this teenage girl in my office, and I, no joke, she said to in front of her mother, she goes, well, I don't need to do my math homework because I'm just going to marry somebody who's going to do it for me.
Yeah,
oh, my God, I thought her mother was going to fall over. She was so upset. They were learning.
And unfortunately, we still have, you know, I get there's always going to be the extremes, and television is extreme and everything, you know, but we still have the Kardashians. We still have, like, that's, you know, the... just millions and millions and millions of young girls are watching Jersey Shore and the Kardashians and Snooki, and like our mothers are the women who began to fight for the women's movement would just be, I think, turning over in their graves, like, oh my gosh, we've given women equality, and what are we doing with this? Like, it's not over. People are almost afraid to say they're a feminist. Like, I have women that I'm like, I'm a feminist. I say to my husband, I put him on the spot and I'll do it in public. I'm like, honey, you're a feminist, right? And he's like, he just looks at me, yes, yes, I am. Yep. How could I not be married to you?
I think
but
as a woman, we all are, though. In some
we need
way,
to be.
Form, we are.
We need to be.
I mean, you're a woman. You are. You know, Crystal, you would probably love the guest that we had on Tuesday. We had Joan Bradley Wages from the National Women's Museum. And if you haven't heard of that or been involved with that, I should connect you.
Yes, love to.
That was a wonderful, wonderful call we did, and one of the highest rated shows on Blog Talk Radio right now from that call. And wasn't that fascinating, Katie?
Having a daughter and you having daughters, Crystal, it's just really with the value of those stories of how hard women have had to fight for their rights. And our daughters don't necessarily know that.
Well, they don't know,
but
we don't know. And it's not even, there's no pun, we don't have this taught in school. There's absolutely nowhere this is taught, so they don't know. So they absolutely have no idea. In fact, if you were to go on the street and ask 100 women, when were women in the United States given the right to vote? when did you win the right to vote? I'm going to say 100 won't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say
1920 was the United States.
5,000 people.
You probably line up 5,000, and maybe one or two out of 5,000 will know. So it's not, again, it's, you know, it's the same. It's sort of like, to me, I mean, it's like any type of movement. It was like abolishing slavery. It took 200 years before Obama was elected as president, and that became a glorious day in the history of the world when Obama became elected. It was like there's a healing. There's a shifting. There's something miraculous happening. And it will be a glorious day when an African-American woman becomes elected as president. That will just be like, oh, that will just be a glorious day for women around the world. That will be like beyond monumental. But it's for that same reason. And it's not to hash out or to be angry, but it's to understand that, you know, Katie, you're a therapist. You get the way the brain works, and you know that we're living on beliefs and programming that have been so deeply programmed almost into our DNA for 6,000 years, 7,000, I mean, really, forever.
Oh, totally, yes. And our mother's voices.
And our mother's voices.
Our mother's voices, and not just our biological mothers, but our mothers, meaning all the women that we've known in our lives coming through. And I thought it was so fascinating when you read Meryl Streep talks about her grandmother's stories about not being able to vote and having to go to her grandfather to tell him what she wanted. And,
right.
You know, how often are we sharing with our daughters? We need to do that, too. We need to share with our daughters our struggles. And they need to understand you don't need to be doing this.
Right.
Well, I have a couple questions for you here. If we lived back in that time where you had to go to a man and tell him what you wanted and who you wanted to...
There's still
whatever,
millions of women that live in that time.
No, I get
just
it.
So you know.
I'm talking about just... You know, I hear that.
Me and
story,
you?
But if, yeah, you and me.
You and I? Okay.
Yeah, you and me and you and I, whatever that is.
Yeah.
We'll say all three of us. What would you do?
I probably would have been burned at the stake. I think they probably would.
I would have freaked out.
I think I would have been like
freaked out.
I don't know. It's easy to say. Maybe I would have been as coy as I can be. Maybe I'd be as coy as I can be now because I've really learned. I really learned even how to use and I don't have to use it the way I do anymore. But in all truth, I learned how to use what God gave me, I'd get myself into a boardroom. I'd know when I was in that boardroom, and this was like in my 30s, you know, I put together some big deals and different business deals, and I'd know, I'd still know sitting there. I still have to say, can I get you a coffee? Can I get anyone a coffee? I knew. I just knew to do that. I had a very chauvinistic father. I knew I still lived in a man's world. We still live in a man's world. And you ask any man that, do you think it's a man's world or a woman's world? Every man will say it's a man's world. Most men, it's not that they chose this, it's just what it's been forever. I think back then I would have been one of those, I don't know. It's easy to say, but who knows, I probably was. I should do a past life regression. I was probably...
I'd be curious. But I'd also like to know, moving forward, I seriously would be curious. Please follow up with me on that.
I know. I really need to find out who I was. Cleopatra or someone.
I'd also like to know if you have any plans for running for any political offices. Because
I don't, but I should, darn Hooten.
I'm thinking there's... Well, I think you've got I just am hearing you and meeting you for the first time. You've got kind of a skill set that's vocal but pleasant, and that's hard to come by. And that's the way sometimes things get done, vocal but pleasant. And
I think I love that. Thank you so much. That is just a beautiful compliment, and I really own that. And I think where I want to go is more the path of radio and TV and books and build a platform so that I don't actually have to get caught in the red tape of politics.
Wondered, yeah.
But I don't think, but you never know. In my 60s, I may be running for some political party, and who knows. But at this stage of the game, I'm still in my 40s. I feel like I have a lot of work to do. I just want to keep collaborating and networking with extraordinary people. I want to keep building, making as much money as I can. And I'm not afraid to say that because money is an exchange of energy. We can do great things with money. We can build places. We can support charities. There's so much we can do. So really, I'm at a I'm at a time in my life where I have a lot of energy still, and it's a time where I want to make as much money, evoke as much change, have the loud enough voice that I still have a pretty enough face that it, I hate to say it that way, but that's sort of, you kind of have to work with everything God gave you. And if God gives you, like, okay, you got a big mouth, but you know how to be soft at times, and you can be pretty, so you're pleasant to the eye. People will listen to you. Men won't reject you. Women will still embrace you. Don't overdo it. Don't be too sexy. Women won't like that. I've kind of figured out there's a bit of a, there's a dance you've got to take, and the dance has to be really real, pretty enough. Don't be too pretty. Don't, like, there's just this fine line, and if you can find it, I think then you can really evoke change in the world. And that's the mission I'm on now, is finding the right dance and the right dance partners so that we can really collectively do something monumental.
Okay, I'm dying to ask this question of you guys. I'm in my 50s, so I've got a few years on you. What do you think your 50s are going to be like?
Bam! I think they're going to be crazy good.
Like a truck, a semi-truck rolling down the neighborhood street, huh?
I think 50s, I'm so excited about aging. Like, I have no fear over aging. I just think bring it on. And you know what I feel like? I really love that who I am anymore is not the Barbie doll. I love that I get to walk in a room. I love it.
It's like, oh, I'm so.
I don't have to have that job anymore. I don't have to worry about that. Why isn't anybody looking at me? I don't have to worry. Right? Like, that's stressful when you're in your 20s and you have to walk in the room and you're wondering, like people are looking at me and. Yeah, and all the attention, and I was pretty cute. And now I love that I have, like, an 18-year-old, and I really feel this feeling of, like, I pass the torch to you, honey. Like, I pass the torch to you. I have different things I'm doing now, and this is your time. And if we were to go out somewhere and you know, even, like, men, if they were to look our way, my daughters might go, oh, Mom, you see those men looking? I just giggle and go, honey, you're 18. They're looking at you. And it's okay. It's so okay. You know, I have a stunning new friend. I don't know how I'm finding these extraordinary women, and I mean drop dead Playboy bunny beautiful that's come into my life. And it's so easy for me to be like, girl, you're all that and more. And it's so not a threat to me. It's just like, you're fabulously gorgeous and beautiful, and I was there at 30, and now I'm in my 40s, and I'm fabulous and gorgeous and beautiful in a whole different way, and I'm so happy that I can just put on my turtleneck, and I don't have to worry how I look in my bikini the same way. I don't care. It's not the same pressure. So I get to actually get on with my life and do great things.
It's really wonderful. If you're living your life in a healthy and wellness way, the older you get, the better it gets.
Oh, I can't wait. I can only imagine.
That's how I feel, anyway.
I'm looking forward to it. You just know yourself more. You like yourself more. You're forgiving more. Like, I used to just be like, my goodness, like, when I was younger, if I were to drink a bottle of wine, I would wake up the next morning and I might as well have a whip, because I would have been like, you're a loser. I can't believe you did it. Why are you doing it? Just, you need to get back on track. And now I wake up the next morning, if I drink a bottle of wine, I go, well, girl, you probably needed that last night. It's just so much more loving and like, okay, maybe we should go do some cardio and sweat that off. But there's no shaming voice that I used to carry with me. Everything I did was to gotta be a better person, gotta do it better, gotta be better, gotta. And now I'm like, okay, you just do the best you can and pick up tomorrow and do the best you can. And if you fall, go cuddle up in your bed and pull the blankets over your head for an hour if that's what you need. And there's just so much more grace and self-love and acceptance that I just wish that for women who are 20.
Don't you wish it for teenagers, though, too?
See, teenagers.
Like, I just wish, you know, just right off the get-go, there was this, you know, this.
But we can teach that to them.
Self-love,
self-worth. We can teach it. We can teach it.
The meow mix has just got to go, you know, my boyfriend. And
And you know what I find, though? That when we're not in that space, it doesn't, they're not. They're not.
Yeah, we have a saying amongst the women. Our daughters are all 10 and 11, and we have the saying that we're the no-drama mamas.
That's so wonderful, because they learn it from us. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and we're not going to go there ever.
No, we're not going to, and we're not going to let our daughters either. And if they do,
and you know,
we all have a pact. We're going to tell them.
Yeah, and the thing I think what we have to do as women, and one of the things that I notice that when I leave, let's say I leave somewhere with my girlfriends or just even a business meeting, or one of the things, oh, God, I could talk about my mom again. I don't mean to, but my mom always, let's say my mom was out and we get in the car. The minute she got in the car, she'd be like, can you believe what so-and-so said? And can you believe what, and what did you think of her dress? And blah, blah, blah. Like, it just was, it was the whole drive home for an hour. And I remember hating that as a kid. Like, why can't we just leave there and it be nice? Like, it was nice, and we all thought it was nice, and I thought it was nice, and I thought we had a good family visit. Why can't it just be a good family visit? So one of the things, as I got older, I just, if I like you, I'm going to like you.
Yeah.
And I am not going to talk about you behind your back. And I notice that with my children because they can't get their heads around when girls do that. And I hear my daughter say, it's like, I don't understand why we're all hanging out and then somebody leaves to go home and the girls start talking about, I don't like that. So I think we as women have to make sure that we don't leave the mummy groups and then get in the car with our kids and go and get on the phone and go, I just left the mummy group, and man, that one lady, she really, like, we
right.
just have to, we
no.
have to not do it. They'll
no.
learn from
Does
us.
Does everybody understand, as a mother of four boys, that chitter-chatter crap doesn't exist in that realm?
Because boys have been programmed to be more empowered. They're just a mister. They're not a miss, missus, or ms. Because this is the history that we need to get to with women. Because our identity is still dependent on another human being, and boys aren't.
And all four of my kids play sports, from swimming to baseball or whatever. And if Johnny Smith hits a home run,
yay, we're on the
like,
same tribe. Because we're a tribe, because we're the hunters.
Like, oh, he's the better baseball player. I suck. What's wrong with me? Holy crap,
yeah.
I better lose 10 pounds and go lift weights. And
right, because for thousands of years, boys were a tribe, and they went off and they hunted, and they celebrated each other, and they knew one would be their alpha, and they were okay with that. They knew for us to survive as a species, one will be the alpha, and we will learn, and he will lead, and we're okay with that. And it's so inbred in them to be tribal and a team, and that's what sports are. It's just a carryover of war and the fighting and the hunting, and that's all it is. It's a way of still being a tribe and feeling their masculinity.
I just from being in dance and ballet and gymnastics and, oh, you know, her butt's fat in that leotard and whatever.
It's terrible.
You know, oh, my God, your butt's fat in that baseball uniform.
Women were in this veiled competition to get the best man because for thousands of years, the best man would give you the best life.
Yeah.
So you needed to compete with everybody to be the best one, whereas men didn't have to compete with each other to get the best woman, to get the best life. It was up to them to give themselves the best life.
That's a baseball game I'd like to attend. Maybe I wouldn't like to attend where everybody's like, wow, you look really fat in your uniform today.
I think they're starting to. You know what? I know I'm so serious and you're like joking and I'm all like, oh, it's serious, serious. But you know what? It is changing. Men are getting worried about it. And in the gay community, men can be so hard on each other in the gay community where they're like, oh, my God, girlfriend, you're so getting fat. Like, I know this. I know this world. And so it is changing. And there's more men that are, you know, worrying about that stuff now. But the solution is
really rip on. I'm making the point that they really don't rip on.
They're not mean
like that.
They're not
and
mean.
It's just and Katie, I hear you laughing and you know you've been part of this too. But you know it's wild. It's the dynamics. And the reason why I'm kind of interrupting us here is because we only have a minute left.
I know.
We've got 1 minute, and I want to just start off by thanking you. And there's the 90-second mark. Thanking you for being with us and inviting you back on again. I think
anytime.
What a wonderful conversation! And,
oh, what a blast!
Yeah, what a blast! And what a refreshing thing too. You didn't come on here and promote and all your books and all your shows. You know, I love that about you. It was just a nice conversation, and I think
everybody
in the chat room really appreciated that. And your promotion goes without saying. I mean, we'll crystalandrus.com, and we'll follow up with a blog.
Wonderful.
No
worries.
And so forth, and buy her books, and just go to her website. Everything's on there, and it's a beautiful website. Yeah, crystalandrus.com. So how about you want to close us out, Dr. Katie, and thank you, Crystal, very much.
Thank you, ladies.
Okay.
Oh, Crystal, I just love this. This was so great. And my favorite saying is, make today better than yesterday. And I think that with what's really inspired me and everything you said is just be proud as a woman and a man for who you are.
Okay. That's amazing.
Love it. All right.
Yep.
Thank you. And, boy, I'm trying to think of what we've got coming up next here. On Tuesday, we have Leo Costa with us. And then on Wednesday, we have Pina DeRosa with us. And so it's the 19th and 20th. We have two radio shows in a row. And we just thank you all for listening so much. And thank you to everybody at Blog Talk Radio. And most of all, thank you to Crystal for being with us today. It was a joy. Thank you.
Thank you,
ladies. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Enjoy today.
Thanks for listening to The Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.